late from Powerhouse Solar. Like most people, you are probably considering how you're going to reduce your household expenses and make those dollars stretch a little further. At Powerhouse Solar, we specialize in helping people find peace in the chaos. By lowering their electric bills through solar energy, we put them back in control and help them save money. We design solar systems that lower your energy bills, give you a manageable monthly payment you can count on, and avoid the electric rate increases. If you want energy independence with a battery backup system, we do that too. Getting solar installed on your home or business is a smart way to combat rising energy bills, and choosing the superior quality of SunPower Solar is equally important. Powerhouse Solar, we're a premier dealer for SunPower. We choose to partner with SunPower because they are the strongest American solar manufacturing company with the best warranty and the most efficient solar panel in the world. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or learn more at powerhousesolar.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon.
Is Elizabeth here?
No, that was,
I'm here. Yeah. I'm here.
That'd be Bill. Something about that chair. It makes people have headphone malfunctions. Oh, you are joining We the People for our first hour. I know it sounds like our second hour because we're all out of breath and sort of all that. But
well, it happens when you run into the studio and throw a set of headphones on. Boom, you're on the air. Hello.
Well,
regular people.
It's kind of better that way, actually. So let's see. I'm Erin Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
And we have our guest with us.
Oh, Tracy Mann.
She's like, I'm nervous. No, you're not nervous. That's only going to last until we all start talking. And then, you know, I hate to hurt the people that are listening, but we always forget about you guys a little bit. And then we just start talking to each other.
That's right.
So, you know, we should put pictures of, you know, this room, actually, instead of having these weird foamy things on the wall, it should have pictures of little people's heads all around it. That would actually make it easier. It would feel like we were talking to people. You can join us online. That would be important today because there's going to be a ton of information. And as usual, don't take our word for it. We just bring you the information and then make it so that you can do the homework. So you can go to wethepeopleradio.us. You can also go to .net, .org, and everything but .com, and it'll take you to the same place. And some dope is holding on to .com, and they're not even making a web page out of it. It's driving me crazy.
No. They want to sell it, but we're not buying it.
Well, they sent me a little thing that said, We the People Radio dash something, and I'm like, yeah, I want to have a web address with a dash in it. That's awesome. So no one will ever find us again. That would be spectacular. Speaking of people finding us again, our website, let's see, we put this particular site up. We've had the same address the whole time, but we actually put this site up in December of 2014, so it's been 15 months-ish. 53,754 hits on that site.
Oh, wow.
So people are actually going to the site, utilizing the information, which is wonderful. Makes it worth doing, you know. Nothing like, you know, you put all this information.
Somebody's reading it.
Yeah, and it's like crickets, you know, same number as last week. Dang, you know. But that being said, if you have a product, good, or service that would do well on a website to be promoted or whatever, we are actually always open for sponsorship. And the show airs on the West Coast on KCNR, 1460 AM here, from noon to 2 on Sundays. So that'd be Pacific Standard Time, which is why sometimes we have all this phone fun with our guests because they're in different time zones, and thank God we have a real human here in the studio with no time zone problems. And then in Philadelphia, we're on WNJC 1360, and that's Mondays from 1 to 3. Conservative Commandos Radio Network, and they also have a phone number you can call and just listen to it on the phone along with all the other shows in their network. They air, and I'm going to have to check this, but I believe it's like noon till 6 every single day. They have conservative programming back there on WNJC. So that's kind of awesome. And then, of course, any old time, you can go to the website, listen to any of the programs that we've done in the past, and gather up all the information there. We've got a ton of stuff. We do a lot of land use, do a lot of things about veterans, a lot of whistleblower-type stuff. We love that kind of thing. By the way, if you happen to know of anybody who maybe works for a federal agency. I guess state would work too, but federal's kind of more far-reaching for everybody. If you know of somebody who just thinks their agency is out of hand, which should be everyone you know who works for a federal agency, and would like to spill the beans, as they say.
We can even camouflage your voice.
We can. We did that one time. As long as you don't refer to yourself by your real name, that was happening. Those two, what the heck?
If that was my name.
What was it? It was Jimmy and I forget her name. I just blanked out there for a second. But they were trying to go by Sam and something else, and they kept calling each other their real name. Like, guys are killing me. Okay, so if the FBI throws a net over your house, it is not our fault. It's basically yours. Jeez. So today everyone's using their real name.
You
thank
blew
God.
Your cover.
Yeah, no kidding. 100 times over. So anyway, that's pretty much all the exciting stuff you need to know that I only say about once every 6 weeks because I totally forget. Second hour, we've got a guy, Barry Latzer. He has written a book called The Rise and Fall of Violent Crime in America. And I'm sure no one has noticed this, but apparently we're on the rise of violent crime in America. He's a renowned criminologist and author of this book. He's a professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, graduates CUNY. He's a frequent media guest, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, apparently he's a really big deal. So that's going to be sort of fun.
Really big deal.
He's a really big deal. We have him for some part of the second hour. So the first hour, I talked to Tracy not as frequently as I should, but I feel responsible. She called me and asked me what I knew about Common Core.
What do you mean? You don't speak to me as often as you should.
I know,
so,
I
know. You know.
You should call me.
I do.
You should call me more often.
I get your message machine. I set appointments.
I send him the automatic text that says, I'll call you when I get off this call.
You know, that whole dinner date thing,
I can't
it
talk
really
to you,
is.
But you could text me if you like.
Ooh, that's another one of my favorites.
You've called her before.
Hey, look. I only have two incoming lines.
You're talking on both of them.
So, go figure. Yeah, I've got two sides of my mouth. So I called the show today Losing Our Right to Privacy, because when I first spoke with you, and it's been longer than I thought, I went and put the old shows on here. Hold on here.
I've talked to Tracy before, since you have.
But she hasn't been on since March 29th of last year, is that right?
I know, isn't that bizarre? Okay, see, I'm not the only one who thought that was too long. We did a program with you first in December of 2014. So you called me, I know, isn't that weird?
Wow, I didn't realize
December 14th was actually the second show we did after I put up this site, because that was December 8th. Go figure.
Tracy was like the first or second show we did for Philadelphia back last March 29th.
That's true, too. So something probably in the next couple weeks is going to be happening that we don't know about. Oh, great. But you had called me and said, you know, what do you know about Common Core? And, you know, I didn't.
That's what got started.
Yeah, and now I know 1% and you know 99%.
I wouldn't go that
which
far.
Is great. We've switched roles. And anyway, you're kind of part of a coalition of people all around the country who are doing really extensive research. Yeah. I mean, this isn't like, Common Core is not really teaching the Constitution. I mean, that you left that part behind.
Yeah, we're
like December we're, what 15th of 2014. Yeah, I remember the first
initial shock of all this starting to come into play, and then all of a sudden the reality is that we've got some real big issues.
Yeah, well, it was in the news here just the other day.
Uh-huh.
I think.
Finally,
again.
Yeah, great, the privacy thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't actually put that legislation in here. Give people the.
Yeah, because there's some confusion there. At first, they said, "Oh, you can opt out," or "Now you can't opt out."
Oh, this has been a big problem for us researching too. When we first found the information out, we thought, "Oh, you can opt out," and then I looked at the form. I said, "Wait a minute, that's an objection." That is not saying to opt out. It's an objection. You disagree.
So what is the whole? Let's maybe we should start.
Yeah,
at the
this is
and
a California, and so you know before you glaze over and think, oh, it's a California thing. Of course, those idiots have come up with some bad plan.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's true. But see, we incubate and carry out all the bad plans that are now coming to a city near you.
Yeah, I found this information out through the group. One of the ladies had sent up from San Diego. It was a news. Live news, and it actually said millions of records, education records, were going out. And I just went, no way. This just
can't
happen.
Yeah, that's what I heard on the news as well.
Yeah, and so what we found out is the California Department of Education should have sent notice out to the districts and the counties Well, I started looking and researching, and sure enough, our county was not, it was already, I think, February 12th when I did the research and found out that our county, what a surprise. I called and spoke to Robin, and she said that they did not feel that it was, they knew that this was coming down to the pipe, but they just didn't quite get the order to release any type of information. And I noticed one school in our area had put it on their webpage, but how many parents look at webpages? And I just really started getting concerned. I emailed our local area school and said, hey, you might want to, for your best interest, you might want to place this out there for parents too.
Because it's every kid who's gone to school since 2008.
Yes.
And it was a...
It's a court order.
A court order that they give it to a nonprofit.
Yes.
Ostensibly because, and so I'll give you my rudimentary thing, and then you explain to them what's really going on. Okay, so the idea is these people want to make sure that kids who fall into the special ed category are receiving the services that they're supposed to get.
Yes.
However, they're going to get the record of every kid
from 2008 to present.
So and these kids could be in college by now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're
already
graduated.
And, out of state, too. I mean, the people that are moved out of state. I mean, this is a long time ago.
And what type of information are we talking about here?
We're talking about everything. Mental health. We're talking about
your kid
attendance.
Lit a fire in the back of the school.
Exactly.
That's out there.
Well, hey, that was a long time ago.
Hey, look, I wasn't
going to
out
that.
You, but now that you've done it.
On the fire, huh?
It's IRFA.
Compulsions. You know, you're expense when you get suspended from school, this is huge. And think about the information you fill out when you sign your child up for school. That's all part of education. Your counseling that the school does is also part of education.
Medications,
everything. And so the court wanted all this information. Well, what was so surprising to a lot of us that have been doing research is it's not the release of the information of the parents and the children, because they've been doing this all along, but parents are just unaware that they've been doing it. So what we were trying to do was say, hey, look, this is going on. They're not notifying us. And we may have done, through the court order, they were supposed to notify us, even though they weren't. It was just done. And as a matter of fact, I think I sent you the court order.
Should be on here. We've got a ton of
If not, I'll give you that information. We don't know where the objection notice came from. If we have researched it, and no one knows really where the objection notice came from.
What are they pretending happened that requires this massive data download?
From what I have heard, we have been unable to really detail it to a degree that I would be comfortable with. But what it's my understanding is it's pretty much like a class action lawsuit. They would like to see all the records to see where the California Department of Education has failed the special ed. And the people that are doing this know for a fact that UDL is what they're using in the school system, Universal Design for Learning, which is for all students with anything. They're doing IEP testing in the background.
Individual education.
Oh, that's the testing for special ed.
Yeah, IEP is like their program. It's an individual education program. And so you're going to, like my mom had a kid who was severely disabled in her fifth grade. His IEP said he was going to be able to trace his name with his finger by the end of the year. So that would be probably about the most rudimentary IEP
and
the rest are.
And, you know, I agree. The special ed children are not getting it with considering what's going on, but neither are our children either. I think every child is not getting what they deserve is because of the Common Core. They're dumbing down America, basically. I do feel that these parents do have somewhat of a right, but unfortunately...
Well, what qualifies as, quote, special ed?
This is the kicker.
That's the list
that
kind of blows your mind.
IDEA 2004, people can look this up. It's, the United States Department of Education has what they call the, the outline of disabilities. Learning disabilities have now come into the realm of their description, and learning disabilities includes emotional disturbances. And
that could be your grandma died,
it could be
and
everything.
You were crying that day in school.
Uh-huh. And what they're basically doing is every child will have a learning disability. By the time they get done with this, said and done, and then what happens is your RTI, your response to intervention, will happen, and then what happens with that is they will come in and say, well, your child has a learning disability. We're going to have to test more. We'll test.
And if your kid sucks at taking tests,
oh, yeah, but
bingo.
This is not, it's all computerized now. It's all digital. So it's all individualized. And this is where your identity comes in, too. This is where your research comes in at. This is huge.
This is where all the controversy starts, because the questions they ask don't necessarily pertain only to the kids.
No, and this is what's scary is when they're talking about an educational record, they're talking about the big. I mean, they're talking about everything.
Big picture.
Yeah.
This is the whole mamu.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to know some of these questions they ask.
Well, we're going to get to that quiz eventually because that was hilarious.
Oh.
Do you have an ironing board in your bedroom? And I forget what the other one was. You were asking me all
the,
this stuff.
That yeah,
was for
that
some
was
other
for,
thing,
yeah,
but it
yeah,
was like, it was. Are you kidding me? Guys, what a bunch of crazy people. All right. So here's our theme song for every show we ever do, because we're always doing shows about them. And we'll be back with Tracy. We're talking about data, losing our right to privacy through your children. Isn't that magical? So if you think it doesn't apply to you, oh, it super does, because everybody knows a kid. Everybody's got a kid in their family. And pretty soon they're going to be asking about you, putting it in a thing and selling it to somebody else. All right, you're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, grocery, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome Rick Bassetti, general manager of the Colt 45s, that college baseball team that plays 42 games during the summer, raising money for so many different charities. Find out about the golf tournament with the retired baseball stars. This and what happened in the South Carolina primaries. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Saturday, 9 to 10 a.m. It's a familiar name, but a new voice. Ron Largent, what's going on?
Well, we're going to talk about real estate, all aspects of real estate. We're going to kind of expand what we've been doing over the last couple of years with Kurt, and Kurt will be on the show. But in addition, we're going to talk a lot about community events, what's going on in our community. It's going to be a very interesting show, lots of guests, and we're going to invite our listeners to be part of it and call in. We're going to hear a lot about the community.
Saturday, 9 to 10 a.m. with Ron Largent's Real Estate and Community Events, KCNR 1460.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Ultimately, what they want.
That is.
They want to decide what you're going to do with your entire life. And
they do.
They want to find a little slot for you and plug you in like a fuse on a fuse panel. It's just fantastic. So what if the data about every student in the United States, along with the information about their families, was given to a nonprofit as the result of a court order? What if you couldn't stop it?
That's where we're at now.
In California, this happens on April 1st. Isn't that magical? The rest of the states will follow very soon. And obviously, what could go wrong with that?
And a nonprofit is
everything.
They can do anything they want with that information.
I know.
And
isn't that
terrific? So that means basically anybody can have your information. All they have to do is pay for it. We're just a money machine for them.
That's exactly what it is. Well, it's amazing. When you really take a closer look, I'm sad that it happened, but, we're going to try to stop it in other states to see if we can.
Well, we were talking about this. If you really want to time travel, we were talking about... if you really, if our listeners really want to time travel, go back to the first show we did in, November of 2014. I've got the links on the page. And we were talking about all this stuff, and I know... Because although I can't see the people who are listening, I can hear their little minds turning. And I know they were thinking, what a bunch of nutcases. What are these guys talking about? This isn't going to happen. Our schools aren't going to do that. And then,
the argument I love is
a little bit over a year.
I don't do anything wrong. Who cares if they have my information? It's no big deal.
Yes. We ended up with a question in the group.
Except you had your identity stolen, and that's been a magical joyride for the last...
I think everybody's going to have their identity stolen anyways, one way or another. What I've noticed, though, that a lot of society, I don't know what the percentage is. I'd really like to find out, but they don't care about their personal identifying.
Well, that's pretty obvious when you look at all the social media stuff they put out there. It's just nuts. These people put everything, including what they had for lunch, on social media, and they don't think at some point that's going to come back and haunt them.
And, that's the sad fact is I think just either people are ignorant to this or they just want to put their heads in the sand. I really don't know, but this is why I don't know if it's that much different.
Thanks for giving everybody an out, though.
Well, it was, and these are people, too, that believe in Agenda 21, but they just really don't care about their privacy. And so I thought, well, you know what? How do I explain this in a way that people will understand it?
Yeah.
What's the big deal? The kids' social security number, information's going out on the kids. It's no big deal, So they need this information for the court.
Because we're all just world citizens, right?
There's a bigger picture in here. And they've been doing this all along because the testing and the research. The thing is people need to understand that this is all set up. This is bigger than just the United States. This is one world government we're talking
about.
And, of course, world education. We're under UNESCO, which is United Nations Education. I think it's something or other. Anyways, you can look it up. It says Education for All. Well, we signed in 2004, the United States Department of Education signed on with the United Nations in the education. Well, they need to do all this research on our children. And the only way that they can do that, and I put on the webpage, basically, ERDC, which is your education research and I think it's data center, they basically asked for the FERPA to get changed in 2011 to release all the data out. They wanted this information. They needed the Social Security number.
FERPA is what again?
FERPA is the Family Educational...
I put it on here.
...Rights, yes.
Why am I asking this?
We always... And per Privacy Act.
There you go.
So I always use acronyms, so sometimes...
Well, they always use acronyms, but...
But that's been de-gutted. And the sad fact is they can release. The court does get this information. It's on there. It
so
says
the whole federal privacy thing...
Oh, it's out it the
has
door
been,
for FERPA.
Okay.
My question is, and the researchers were all trying to get together and go, how can we do this? Our privacy, the kids' privacy is out. And what they're doing is they're doing like a science project to the kids. They need the data because they're going to alter the kids' morals and their thought process, and they do it individually. So if they're already subcategorized us, and so the funny thing is if, say, for instance, if you're going to watch in a big science project, you're going to watch a female go through delivery through the data, you will have your medical, which will determine that the mother is a smoker. She's pregnant. But there's no father. And they want to track this data all the way through. So they're going to track this person, this baby being born, C-section or normal delivery. They will track that all the way through the education. This is through education.
So does
this
the kid go to Head Start or
exactly,
all that stuff?
Exactly. All this stuff is all tied together. And I also showed you in the last email how Idaho is actually tying the transportation DMV records to medical records to CPS. It's amazing. It's called data element linking. and that's exactly how they're doing it. They're de-identifying our information. They say that's encrypted.
So it gives us like a secret number instead of a...
Yes, but it's a security for people and citizens of the United States to really feel that we are okay with our information going out. But in reality, Bill Gates is behind this. He's funding it. So all these big companies and data are actually going to go in and alter and unencrypt or whatever they call it, de-identify, and then send it out to researchers. And when you start thinking of how much research that one person can get, it's amazing. I mean, you can look for what they call them data sets. It's a query, a question. So if you have, you're a researcher and you have somebody that you want to do research on that's educational, because now it's anybody with educational interests can get into these, they might not be sending the personal identifiable information, but they can get it. And here's how they can do it. If you ask for different data sets and go back and say, oh, I want more, and then you go back, well, it's like process of elimination. Gradually you're going to come up, especially when we're already subgrouped. You know, you have your, you know. So basically, they're doing the initial observation, the project title, just like a science project, your purpose of the project, hypothesis, materials, which are our children, experimental procedures. They're doing all sorts of procedures on our kids. Believe it or not, this is not just about education. And the data, and then, of course, the calculations and the results. So each child will have their own response to intervention, and that intervention is going to make them test more. If they fail into what they're doing is they're pushing the civil rights and equity and gender, all the United Nations stuff is going through. And if they're not set up the way that they want, it's called RTI. They're going to push the testings. They're going to make sure these kids know it, just like global warming or our drought, for instance. If you tell a kid, I was told by a wonderful teacher, that if you tell a kid at least four times within a time frame, they will know. They will start to begin that that is true. They will believe that's true. So it's interesting when you think about the concept of brainwashing and how curriculum's been rewritten and United Nations is coming in and indoctrinating. This is the kind of stuff that they're doing in the back. This whole setup with our education world is unreal.
Well, and you look at the programs, I'd have to go back and look at the dates. I'm not sure when we did them, but it's been a while ago now with Holly Swanson on, what did she call her book? I'll go look, and I'll put it on here, because her contention is that Common Core, the whole point of it is to push the Green Party, the Green Party political agenda. Mm-hmm. And most people, like, I think of the Green Party, and I think, yeah, Roseanne Barr is going to be president, like, you know, like Bernie Sanders. Oh, wait, that could happen. That's not so far.
Well, this has been their goal for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
But with the advent of technology,
now they
have the ability to really implement this stuff.
I
want to
link like every show we've ever done.
Well,
because
think about
Patrick
FERPA.
Wood and the technocracy.
Oh,
sure.
And,
sure.
I mean,
it's
all this stuff.
FERPA, like I said, was designed. It was de-gutted for that reason. So for them to be able to get our information out and do research on our kids, because they can't do it on us, and we're getting too old. Anyways, so you know, they can't change our minds. Listen to
we're all guns and God and all those other bad things.
Yeah, they can't deprogram
that's our
that,
problem. Country, guns, God. No, I forgot what we're hung up on.
Beer.
I always forget my darn hang-ups. Maybe they should.
But everything is now running around the education. So now you have your counselor that's involved. You have a nurse that's involved with the school because there are nurses there on campus.
Sure.
They have a psychologist on campus. Oh, we can't release the information to parents. I had a situation where I know of a parent that had their son actually get in trouble for smoking pot. And this is a second offense. And the school system here in Shasta County, and it already started, I already couldn't believe this, Shasta County actually told the parent that it's mandated that they go to a drug rehab set up through the school system. And I said, well, that's interesting. Isn't that the parent's choice to take that child to a drug rehab? I know that's wrong, but, I mean, that's the parent's decision, not the schools.
Well, or the court. I mean, if he wound up going through court, the judge could mandate.
Exactly. But it's, and then I called out of curiosity, And Shasta said, Shasta High School said, oh, I'm sorry, we can't release that to the parents anyways. There's no information that will be released to any parents whatsoever, even if it's about their own child.
So if their kid's going to some kind of counseling, they're not telling the parents?
No, because it's adapted in the school system.
See, and they're talking about, you know, it's interesting, but it's been a couple of years ago now, and there was a school over on the coast, over in Del Norte County, and they had a Planned Parenthood clinic that was down the street.
Yep.
They were going to move that on the campus, so the kids no longer, because they can't leave campus without a note. So if you bring it to the campus, now they can go there without their parents' permission.
Yeah, and here's a big issue. HIPAA violations. This is what is kind of a question out there for our audience, because we as researchers have found so much information on this that it's mind-boggling. HIPAA does not include, the educational records are exclusive to HIPAA. They can't use it, because HIPAA, with the definition, you have to be a billing. You have to bill out to actually include HIPAA.
So to be restricted by HIPAA. So if you're a school, you don't bill insurance.
No. Nope.
So you can give out private medical records.
And guess what's going out to the federal court?
Yeah.
So this is more than just educational
this
records.
This is like the imposition of Santa's list. We're going to find out who's naughty and who's nice. The big list, the real one, not the fun one our parents used to use to get us to do stuff. God, that's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I did add the de-identified information can be re-identified or rendered distinguishable by using a code, algorithm, pseudonym that's assigned to individual records. Because obviously, I mean, it's like having a nickname.
Uh-huh.
Eventually, you can claw your way back to who the person is, if you know how to do that. So we need to take another quick break so we can take some deep breaths, lower our blood pressure, let our audience hear about some other things, you know, so they won't freak out. Sorry, guys. It's going to be one of those freaking out shows. This is a good one. So we're talking about losing our right to privacy with Tracy Mann. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Listening to We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California that includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a better-known business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
For the past 17 years, the Shasta Land Trust has served our community by conserving significant places in far northern California that protect water quality, working agricultural ranches, and wildlife habitat. The Shasta Land Trust invites you to its annual Wild Ways kickoff on Saturday, February 27th. Join us to support local land conservation. You will be treated to delicious food featuring Prather Ranch beef, local wines, and craft brew. Visit the website at shastalandtrust.org or call the office at 241-7886. The Shasta Land Trust, protecting the places people love for future generations to enjoy.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, grocery, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, 299 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
You can escape my private eyes. They're watching you. They see your every move. Baby, private eyes. They're watching you. Private eyes. They're watching you, watching you, watching you, watching you.
And tracking you. Okay, during the break we were talking about what the heck? Why would... Okay, I know they're popular and they're supposed to be for exercise, blah, blah, blah. But if you have a Fitbit thing on...
Which is the little watch, little watch thing that tells you how many
device.
Steps you take.
Holy crap. I was looking to buy a shock collar for the dog because he's barking at everything. I mean, he barks at... He literally runs out the dog door.
You're going to get ads from
PETA now. I know,
PETA
I'm going to get
PETA now.
Yeah. People eating tasty animals. That's good. Maybe I get a discount on my beef. No, so he runs out and he'll like bark two or three times just for the hell of it. Or you'll see like a...
He's announcing his presence to the neighborhood. I'm
right,
home.
He runs right back in.
You know, what like, do you do when you walk in? Honey, I'm home.
And a few barks,
Lucy.
No big deal. All right, I'm getting it for Bill. Okay, I'm just going to come clean. I'm buying it for Bill and pretending I have a big dog.
Lucy, I'm...
It's okay, it's a graduated job.
Oh, okay.
It ramps up. And there's a vibrating thing, so we wouldn't necessarily... They say it's waterproof, too, so don't take it off when you go
to the
shower.
So if I show up really hoarse one day, you'll know that I've been a bad boy.
Those two electrode marks in your neck, that's not from a spider bite?
That's not a vampire.
No, it's true. I'm looking at these things, these dog collar deals, the shocker things. Because, you can hit a vibrating thing. I've tried the clicker. I've tried the whistle. I've tried, just hitting, good old-fashioned hitting.
Oh.
And...
I didn't know that. Now I'm appalled.
It's okay. Your dog's there. Take him on a walk, and he just barks, and he just goes berserk. And it's like, okay, we got to reel this back. He's only 6 months old. It's time to, it's time to reel that back. It's his only really bad thing, and we got to fix it. So I'm looking at these things, and I'm thinking, they have GPS. You can monitor the shock thing from your phone.
Oh, yeah.
You can trigger it from your phone, and they're Bluetooth enabled.
Oh, yeah,
and
you can watch him on your phone running in the yard barking from 100 miles away and just sit there and shock them, what out of him.
I should give you the report I found. Maybe you can find it while we're... it's the
one about people who use dog
technology.
Collars incorrectly?
Actually, no. It's just about the fact that the stuff that's coming out is unreal because they could actually name the beer that you're drinking and the time that you're actually drinking in your own house. And I'm sitting here going, because of the TVs that are kind of smart TVs?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
People just aren't making... It's like, come on, people. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I read an article about that they said that with the TV technology today, as you're watching a program, they can watch you in your home, and then the commercials that come on the television will be keyed to your activities at that time.
It's just
is that
unreal.
Scary?
No, that is really scary.
So when you start
it's
seeing the
really
Viagra
scary.
Commercials and the prophylactics and you know they're watching.
I was just going to say maybe we get rid of some of those ones where they talk about all the side effects. Or maybe those will start happening more.
Well,
I don't see
people going backwards in time.
This is running
out of control.
Well, like the testing. Okay, so all joking aside, a lot of the testing looks like video games.
Oh, yeah. It's very intriguing to the kids. Now, believe me, it's a research project. Now, in New York, when this first started, they had symptoms of the kids getting sick. They just couldn't handle it. They're going back on grit, perseverance, and what's the other one? Grit, tenacity, and perseverance. They're falling back on a report that was written in the very beginning. And they're pushing these kids, pushing. And so there was kids that were getting sick, so they had to actually try to manipulate the test to make it look fun. And, of course, haven't you noticed... there was certain games that kids play, and I know Minecraft is one of them that I've noticed is just absolutely mind-boggling for kids. And you're sitting there and you're watching. It's very simple. It's like Legos on TV. And it's amazing when you pull a kid off, they don't want to get off. It's more of a, oh my gosh, and they have games
now. They're addicted
now,
to it, yeah.
The games, too, that the adults are even playing on their smartphones.
Yeah, I don't know
they
about
are
that.
Like
yeah, I don't know anything
addicting.
About that.
I don't know anything about that.
You just wonder what they're doing to the mind. What kind of, because psychology is behind all these games. And the testing that they're doing at the kids are part of the research because of the fact that they sell out to games. And the mind control that they're doing is unreal. And I think people just aren't seeing it. A friend of mine just gave me an email that talked about in 2013, it was a whistleblower that it was talked about the mind altering. They're doing research, DARPA. They're actually altering your mind. And this was 2013. Could you imagine how advanced it is
sure.
now?
Yeah,
sure.
Considering everything we talked to you about a year ago
exactly.
is like gone
and
way past.
And you're sitting here going, oh, so they're researching on our children. So what exactly are they researching on our children? This is the point, is how
Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of underlying information there that we don't even know about or think about that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Certain trends and activities that you do on a regular basis that will make it easier for them to guide you into a position they want you in.
And parents are oblivious.
And you don't
to
even
this.
Know it.
That's
well,
P. That's the and I dark, posted it on there. The P20W, which is
preschool 20 to workforce, but they're even going deeper than that. They're just connecting all of
but
the...
But that's what that means,
that's
I
what
guess,
that means.
For folks on here.
Uh-huh.
And that is a spooky deal.
Yep, so all your medical records, and this is where the EMR starts connecting. Your medical records are now electronic digitally, so they're all connecting. Every piece of our life around us is now connecting. Your medical's connecting because your health insurance is now through Obamacare, and they need to monitor, so that's what the EMRs are. Medical records. And so they're connecting. Your DMV is now connecting. They're talking about a national ID on your driver's license. They're digital. Everything is starting to slowly connect.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have, for one person, you have a massive amount of information on this one person. Well, it comes back to the one world government thing. It's all about control. But as the older,
but in the meantime, it's all about marketing.
It is all about marketing,
yeah.
too. And that's the hard part of getting rid of privacy rights. And I think... it's good. There are some good things that come out of privacy, things that people need to know about, like we talked about before with hiring somebody that has a criminal record or, you know, some
sure.
things might be good, but it's gone way out of line.
Well, I always think about when we were in the equipment business and somebody would come in to buy a machine and there was always a question on the thing that said, had they ever filed bankruptcy? And people would put no, but we would call like Kubota Tractor and they would come back and say, you know, hey, this guy had a bankruptcy. And it would be 20, 25 years previous.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
at what point did
people would always say, well, if I file bankruptcy, you know, it's gone after 7 years. I'm like, no, it is so not gone. It's
well, think about it now
forever.
When they're linking all this to our kids.
Yeah.
We were just joking about this. You know, a young kid kisses a little girl, you know, just out of curiosity. I mean, just one of those things where
yeah.
it's a little peck on the cheek.
That not kid, exactly full-fledged playing that doctor.
Could,
just
That kid yeah. could get in trouble for sexual assault, basically. Because of the way that the school system is set up, and therefore they'll go through the counseling.
Well, when you
session.
Can make a Pop-Tart a gun,
exactly.
Yeah, can,
it, I mean,
yeah.
this is so far-fetched, and I think the problem is really stems from lack of family structure. I think our family structure in this nation is gone. I think this is the big issue. I think if the family
now
structure
the government's
was there
do it for us,
you.
Mm-hmm.
and you know what,
Not
a lot
nice.
Of parents like this.
Oh, I was just going to say, a lot of parents don't have the time. They're both working.
Uh-huh.
They're depending more and more on somebody else, either the school system, work, somebody else to direct their kids while they're away. And whatever they have to do to make that work is okay with them.
Yeah, it's just like I can't just deal with my kids. Oh my gosh, I just let the school deal with it. They're going to take care of us. They're going to intervene. Is basically
they're
what
professionals.
They're doing.
Yes, management by professionals. Back to technocracy.
Guess what? 2015, they came out with Department of Health and Human Resources are doing and parent intervention now through the school systems. So they will be visiting us in our homes through the schools and basically help us manage our nutrition for our children, make sure they have health insurance. And this is wonderful for parents that are young, probably on government assistance. And so they're probably overwhelmed. So like we were just talking about it sounds great, but it's just
for now, just until they get back on their feet, you know, and then they'll pick it up and, you know.
Yeah, then they'll step back. Ugh. Yeah. Okay, one more quick break, and then we have Mike on the line, so he's got a question or a comment for us. We will come back to you, Mike. You're our hostage to the break. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Oh, yeah, this is a scary song, too. Going out to all the data miners.
Listening to We the People on AM 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State, KCNR.
Karenette Pregnancy Center of Northern California is hosting a community-wide free event on Friday, March 4th at Redding Christian Fellowship Church from 6 to 8:30. Join us for a beautiful evening of worship, presentations from our team, client stories, an open mic for Q&A, as well as a call to action. If you have a heart for celebrating life and our community, we love for you to partner with us at this event. Please RSVP at karenettenorcal.org/upcoming events. Call 530-246-7075.
Hi, this is Sue Blake from Powerhouse Solar. Like most people, you are probably considering how you're going to reduce your household expenses and make those dollars stretch a little further. At Powerhouse Solar, we specialize in helping people find peace in the chaos. By lowering their electric bills through solar energy, we put them back in control and help them save money. We design solar systems that lower your energy bills, give you a manageable monthly payment you can count on, and avoid the electric rate increases. If you want energy independence with a battery backup system, we do that too. Getting solar installed on your home or business is a smart way to combat rising energy bills, and choosing the superior quality of SunPower Solar is equally important. Powerhouse Solar, we're a premier dealer for SunPower. We choose to partner with SunPower because they are the strongest American solar manufacturing company with the best warranty and the most efficient solar panel in the world. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or learn more at powerhousesolar.com.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
With my favorite shampoo in their hand.
Oh.
Shot caller. Yeah. I wish that was a funny song. I wish that was a cool song from back in the day. It's not now. Now it's real.
Now it's real.
Now it's real and it's scary.
Yep.
So we're talking about what used to be privacy, losing our privacy rights. Actually, they're mostly already gone, so losing is actually the wrong word. And so we've got Mike on the line. Howdy, Mike.
Hey.
I know you can't talk to us in the chat room, so you have to call us.
Yeah, I know. So the question, you know, of course, I find it incredible that most of the people do not trust the government, and yet they send their children to a government school.
Well, there is that.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I did, but in that vein, of course, you know the church I'm talking about, Aaron, because you come there from time to time and have a meeting with us. But they have a K-12 school there. Is that school going to be subject to the release of information that all the, quote, government schools are?
That's a good question. No, I don't think so. I think private schools are not under FERPA law. That's my understanding. Like I said, the group's just now starting to really dig into this because this kind of caught all of us by surprise that California did this. So we're trying very hard to put the information out as fast as we can find it. There are, unless I really hate to say that I truly cannot give you an answer on that. But I'm pretty sure private schools are not going to be touched with this because the records are not going to, they're different. It's not that the records go to where the same records go to for public and charter schools.
But yep. Charter schools will be
charter
part of
schools
this.
Are part of this. Yes, charter schools are created or treated just like public schools. They are public schools. They follow state laws and regulations. But private schools are not. So I'm assuming that it is not, but I cannot tell you yes for sure. But I'm pretty sure they are not involved with this.
Okay, so the only way to shelter our children then is to either teach them at home or send them to a truly private school.
The private schools are being hit. There was a bill that passed just recently. Unfortunately, any private school that ends up with Title I money, if they get any type of Title I money funding whatsoever from the government, anything, will be hit. So unfortunately, they're going to hit all of us because they want all our children. Right now, a lot of the researchers are actually telling people, get your kid out of the school system. That's all they're saying. There's a lot of us that have already moved to the homeschooling. And basically, it's a big step. It's really scary. And because parents have been told they can't teach their kids. And like I said, this is where family structure, I think, needs to be put back into play. And I think churches need to be a part of this. I think the church, their focus is on family. And unfortunately, the government decided to do this before the churches. So I think the family structure is a main thing. We've got to get the family structure back online. Parents need to look at what they have and say, is this really worth sending my kid to public school so I can work 12 hours a day? Because that's exactly what's happening. And I don't mean to be so rough, but I think parents need to open their eyes. They had these kids, and they are their responsibilities. They're not the government's. And if they are really that concerned, they need to yank their kids out of the school system. And it's getting harder for homeschoolers, too, because, like I said, they're tightening the ropes on us, too. The more that they do this, the more legislation and laws are starting to squeeze us, too, as well. But we do have a structure out there with all of us doing the research that hopefully... But I really hope that parents get on top of this and start looking into this themselves. I can't stress how much it means for a mother to sit and look, or a father to sit and go, holy cow, yeah, you're right, I need to get my kid out. And I know that didn't answer your question, did it?
Well, yes, it did, and no, it didn't.
It had a bad answer, but that doesn't mean you didn't answer
incredible.
It.
I find it incredible that we've got one candidate running for president that says, oh, we ought to have free college for everybody. Okay, and I'm on the other side of it, and I say, no, government shouldn't be in education whatsoever. When did it become the government's job to educate our kids?
1913.
I mean, long before it was that way, Dale Carnegie created a library system, so for $3 worth of library card, you could get an education that rivaled the best, you know?
Yeah, they've been doing this a long time, but I think with technology, the way that it has just, I mean, within the last 10 years, I would say technology has just absolutely just ransacked us and taken our privacy. I read a report that said our Fourth Amendment rights went out the window when we bought a computer. That's basically what it is. The government knows it, and they are taking the data and information from us like crazy. So it's not just about education anymore. I mean, they're really, you know, and that's the thing is the education, I think, is the family structure, because if parents don't teach about sex, if they don't teach about the Bible, Constitution, or anything, they're not going to get taught in school this stuff. This stuff is going to be United Nations only. So another generation is going to come out of these public schools, and if parents don't wake up...
We're going to be the last generation of climate change deniers?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, that's a crisis right there. Oh, my gosh. All right, Mike, we've got to jump off here because we're going to switch to crime, and then we're going to come back to education. Thanks a million. Here in just a little bit, we're going to have Barry Latzer on here. The rise and fall of violent crime in America. And interestingly enough, it ties right into all this because once they have all of our data, they know who's going to be a criminal. Shoot, you told me if I buy little chair pads for the bottom of my chairs, that means I'm a good credit risk because that means you have wood floors and all sorts of... Guys, there's a lot more to this. We're going to need a lot more time. But we're going to come back and insert Barry Latzer and then go back with Tracy. So hang in there. It's going to be fun. You're going to like it. WeThePeopleRadio.us.
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Police say a man was fatally shot by police in Anaheim, California after he shot at two people, wounded his brother-in-law, and fired on a police helicopter that was following him. Police say the officers on the ground shot the man when he failed to comply with their orders. He died at the scene. The suspect in last night's shootings in Kalamazoo, Michigan, Jason Dalton, has worked as a driver for Uber, but the spokeswoman for the ride-sharing company would not say if he was driving last night when six people were fatally shot and two others wounded. Kalamazoo Mayor Bobby Hopewell says that the community worked together during the shootings using social media to alert friends and family of the dangerous gunman on the loose.
You see social media when this was going on, people were telling folks, stay inside, taking care of each other. That's what we need to do. And the victims, of course, we need to be there for them and as their names come out and just really support.
The battle over a new Supreme Court justice is getting underway. We get details now from correspondent Connie Lawn.
President Obama is studying possible choices for a new Supreme Court justice to replace the influential conservative Justice Antonin Scalia. He has thick binders with at least nine choices. A nomination could be announced soon. At this time, Senate leaders say they will not hold confirmation hearings. That could change if a nominee is a senator or a former judge who has been confirmed previously for lower courts. The nominee is not likely to be as liberal as President Obama would like. Connie Lawn reporting from Washington.
A spokeswoman for the New York City mayor says investigators must determine whether friendly fire may have been involved in the shooting of two officers. Police say that the officers are in stable condition after being shot early yesterday while confronting a gunman who slammed his car into a police vehicle. The suspect was also shot and is in critical condition. Mayor Bill de Blasio awaiting a police report on the exact sequence of events, according to a spokeswoman. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself going deeper and deeper in credit card debt and you're not sure how to fix the problem? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management is a nonprofit organization that will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges and reduce your interest rates by as much as 60%. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. It's not a loan. It's a smart way to relieve your stress, meet your obligations, and preserve your self-respect. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
The death toll from a ferocious cyclone that tore through Fiji has risen to three.
It hit Saturday night, late Saturday and into Sunday. There was winds of about 180 miles per hour, so it's a very strong cyclone. People woke up to a lot of destruction. A lot of homes were destroyed, roofs torn off.
That is correspondent Nick Perry. At least three people have been confirmed dead. Lawyers for Bill Cosby's wife have filed an emergency motion to postpone her deposition while she appeals a magistrate judge's order. The motion filed yesterday says Camille Cosby's deposition, scheduled tomorrow, should be delayed because she has had no involvement with the facts or allegations underlying this case. It argues that her public testimony would serve no purpose other than to harass or embarrass her. She is slated to answer questions under oath in a defamation lawsuit brought against her husband by seven women who say that he sexually assaulted them decades ago. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg has set a March deadline to decide if he will mount a third-party presidential run. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
Bloomberg is mulling a possible White House bid because he believes the leading candidates are trying to exploit Americans' worries. He says the campaign's been a race to extremes and that the political landscape is dominated by a corrupt, gridlocked, and broken two-party system. Bloomberg is said to be unhappy with the rise of Bernie Sanders among Democrats and Donald Trump and Ted Cruz on the Republican side. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Queen Elizabeth has written about her religious faith in a foreword to a new book. In the comments released today, she says that she is grateful to the British public for praying on her behalf and said that she has felt God's faithfulness during her lifetime. The book is to be published by the Bible Society in April to mark the Queen's 90th birthday. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. You can find all the information about our guests and the programs we've done and the research you're going to want to do after listening to the first hour on privacy rights. We're coming back with Tracy a little bit at the end of the show to discuss some of that, but we're taking a detour, actually, a really... It's not as crazy a detour as you might think, because Barry Latzer has written a book called The Rise and Fall of Violent Crime in America. Well, while they're tracking our kids and all the activities they do in elementary school and all that, it's to pigeonhole them and to decide who they're going to be when they grow up. Well, my guess is some of those people will be the future subjects of Mr. Latzer's book. So, Barry, why did you – I know you do all sorts of different things and you're super pressed for time, so I guess we didn't want to ask a bunch of dopey questions. We thought we would let you tell us what you think is important. Besides the fact that we've noticed that there is a rise, not much of a fall in violent crime in America.
Well, thank you, first of all, for having me on your show, and I'm delighted to be with you. This book is a history of violent crime in this country since the Second World War. And, in fact, actually, crime has gone both up and down during this long period, about 70 years, 75 years. In the 40s and 50s, crime was pretty low. And believe it or not, we're still in a crime trough now, a low crime period.
Yeah.
We may be coming out of it, because if you're living in certain cities, Chicago, Baltimore, for instance, it would be hard to believe that we're in a low crime period. But that depends on where you live.
Okay. And so how long have you been a criminologist? Was that what you started doing when you began your career? I know you're a professor and have done all sorts of things like that, but as a criminologist, how do you...
Well, probably my colleagues who are real criminologists would take umbrage, because this is a late avocation for me. My field was originally law and crime, essentially, and I wrote about what they call criminal procedure law, and I also wrote about death penalty and studied both subjects. But I only came to crime history recently, and I decided that the criminologists who really study the causes of crime weren't really doing much of a job on the history of crime, why crime goes up and down. The historians weren't doing so great either, so I figured there was room for me.
I like it. So we have kind of a handy little list here. Talk to us about the major economic developments and especially social trends, because that's kind of the era we grew up in, was the baby boom and all the turmoil in the 60s, and then...
Mm.
You know, moving all our minorities, it seems, into urban centers, and how did that explode our crime stats, or why?
Well, the explosion really began in the late 60s, and if you measure violent crime rates, that's the number of crimes per 100,000 people in the country, you find a tremendous upsurge. From 1960 to 1990, the rates rose 353%. Now, this is nationwide. So that's a very scary number. And I call it a crime tsunami. It went on for 2.5 decades, really, from the late 60s to the early 90s. And so a good chunk of my lifetime involved experiencing that firsthand. This tsunami occurred for three reasons. First, you did have migration to the big cities of the north of low SES, that is, low socioeconomic status, African Americans who had very high rates of interpersonal violence. That means they were committing violent crimes against friends, acquaintances, family members, neighbors, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And this, by the way, seems to be a southern cultural phenomenon. It wasn't just blacks who did this sort of thing, with whites in the south as well. But the black migration brought a lot of this interpersonal violence into the northern cities. And then it exploded in robberies as well, which is not based on quarrels or fights or disputes between individuals, rather it targets strangers. So the Great Migration, while one of the most positive and valuable developments in American history, also had a negative side because it did bring a lot of crime to cities of the North. The second big factor was demographics. We had what we now call the baby boom, the big rise in babies starting at the end of World War II, when the soldiers came home and the economy was good and people wanted to have families. And this baby boom generation, my generation really, grew to the age when males commit the most crimes. That's the ages of 18 to 25. And when did it happen? Late 1960s, early 1970s, and that's when crime exploded. And the third big factor is that when crime exploded, and it was really a tipping point, an explosive and sudden and massive increase in crime, the criminal justice system caved. It couldn't handle the overwhelming and rapid increase. So police actually solved fewer cases, and the commitments to prison went down instead of up, and the time served in prison got shorter instead of longer. And of course, what happened when the system caved is that it inspired more crime than before. So these were the big factors in the big crime tsunami.
Okay, was it in the 90s when crime started to kind of subside a little bit? I mean, when did it start going down, or did it?
Well, that's what was really interesting to me. I found, much to my surprise, that crime actually began to fall in the 80s, which took me by surprise. And I figured, well, that must be because the baby boomers were getting too old. And that seemed to be right. By the 80s, they were already reaching their late 30s. And that's getting up there for violent crime. But then what happened was the children of the baby boomers, the next generation, even as teenagers, began doing crack cocaine. And this was another youth contagion, and it set off a terrible phenomenon that lasted from the late 80s to the early 90s. And that sent crime soaring all over again, violent crime, especially robberies and assaults and homicides committed mainly by the drug distributors. And until that cocaine era ended, which was around 1993 and 1994, crime shot up again, but when it did end, then we started the new crime trough, the new low period. And it sank, even though when the economy also tumbled in 2007 and 8, the Great Recession, as we call it, crime continued to fall, which also is unexpected.
Yeah, because you would think with the economy going down, there'd be more, you know, robbery, more burglary, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's weird. We see two lines sort of crossing in a strange way, because the police in a lot of cities now look like the army. You know, they're wearing army outfits, and they have army vehicles, and they have a lot of military gear. But on the other hand, like especially out here in crazy California, they want to make all the sentences. They want to turn all the felonies into misdemeanors. Now, you know, not all, okay, but a bunch. They want to lower the severity of the crimes, and we're just cutting everybody loose. They, here in our little town of 90,000 people, you know, periodically you'll have somebody who steals like three cars in the same week because they just keep letting them out. There's nowhere to put them.
Yeah. Well, they've also shortened the sentences and released a lot of these criminals that are, I mean, really bad guys, releasing them back into the public to commit more crimes, and then they're not putting them back in jail.
So we're running around with military gear, but we're letting everybody out. What?
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
Well, of course, the military gear, of course, is for riots, you know, and massive crowd control, and you're not going to see that in ordinary everyday policing. The release of these hopefully low-level offenders is more problematic. And, of course, this is part, I think, of an overall trend to make the system less punitive. People now feel, well, we went too far, we over-imprisoned, we need to cut back on the criminal justice system. So if we do it the wrong way, and if you're correct, for instance, if some dangerous guys, as you say, are now being released or getting a free ride, that's a bad thing to do because, obviously, the criminal justice system is a major disincentive to crime, and if we weaken that, well, we're asking for trouble. In fact, there's a theory from a California crime historian who unfortunately has passed away in recent years named Eric Monkinen, and Monkinen said, well, when you relax social controls, including a tough criminal justice system, you invite a crime rise after a lag of a couple of years.
Imagine
and then,
that.
Of course, people complain when crime goes up. They toughen the system up. They toughen up the social controls, and then crime goes down. So it was his view that you get these cycles of crime. If that's true, it looks like we're entering one of these cycles of weakened social control. And I view the changes in California as part of that weakening of the social control.
Oh, I would totally agree with that because, I mean, we've seen it just in the last, say, 5 years with the legislation that's come out of California, the release of criminals, the decriminalization
voters.
Of drugs.
Well,
I mean,
voters did it. Prop 47, they turned a bunch of felonies into misdemeanors. And when you do stuff like that, you know, it's no longer going to put you in prison. Well,
no. I mean, you can be caught now with a small amount of heroin and not be incarcerated for it.
So this is the zeitgeist now, right? This is the way things are moving, and whether and conservatives and liberals seem actually to agree on these things. Conservatives mainly concerned about the powers of government, especially the federal government. They're concerned about the money. The criminal justice system isn't cheap, of course. And, of course, liberals are looking on the other side of the issue and seeing race bias or seeing excessive punishments. And so they're all kind of in agreement now. And as I say, this is where things are. This is the mood of the country. And as you say, the voters supported this themselves. They're buying into it. So it puts us as kind of a risk. But I will say this. The other red flags for crime are not there. So, for instance, that demographic bulge that I referred to earlier in the late 60s, I don't see that. We're becoming an aging society, and one thing about old folks is they're not going to do a lot of violent crime. So no red flag there. Migration of high crime cultures, I don't see that either, actually, not in any really threatening way. A lot of the immigrants from Asia, for instance, are committing very little violent crime. So I don't see the other red flags, but I would sort of say pink flag at least for this weakening of the criminal justice system.
So you don't see a real impact as far as crime with the current immigration status we have now with the rise
where no one gets sent back. You can come here and commit a crime. We just give you a driver's license and
put you in a sanctuary city and you'll be okay. So do you see an impact there?
Again, here I would distinguish, you know, local from national, because I'm doing a very broad-based book, I'm looking at national figures. So nationally, okay. No, I don't see an impact. If I were living, you know, on the Mexican border, I might have a very different view of things.
Yeah.
So here I would differentiate local impact from national impact. I don't see it yet. Criminologists are kind of conservative on this issue. That is, they want to see a multi-year trend before they're going to get out front on this issue and say, okay, we're having a crime wave. Sometimes we miss the story, of course, and sometimes the public is ahead of us and they get it right and we get it wrong. But the view is we need to have a multi-year trend upward before we're going to say, yep, we're in another crime wave. I don't see the multi-year trend yet either. And, you know, I'm not trying to be, you know, Pollyanna about this. I'm not saying, oh, everything's fine.
Sure.
What you're seeing is wrong. I'm not taking that view at all.
Well, it's interesting because with the 24-hour news cycle, of course, everything, it seems like there's more of everything. And since they don't really report good news, there's more of everything that's bad.
Well, also, too, I think they tend to report on the real heinous crimes. And the smaller, you know, if it's, you know, more than, you know, or less than two or three people were killed, they don't report on it because that's really not big national news. Now, what about gang violence? Do you see a rise in gang violence?
Again, I don't, but that always is worrisome, especially if it involves a drug. Teenage gangs usually just commit crimes against one another, but drug gangs or other illicit substance gangs, that could be a more serious proposition. But I don't see that in particular, again, as a national problem.
Okay.
Locally, it might be, though.
Right.
That is depending on where we are.
We need to take a really quick break, but when we come back, you've done a lot of work on different social groups and the different amounts of violent crime that come from all that. We'd love to hear your take on that. We've got a two-minute break here. You can find out all the information about our guest, Barry Latzer, and his book, The Rise and Fall of Violent Crime in America. You can find that on our website, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
And you're listening to We the People on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a veteran-owned business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry.
I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I shot the sheriff, but I did not shoot the deputy. I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot the deputy. All around my home, trying to track me down. They say they want to bring me in guilty for the killing of a deputy.
See, we didn't actually have to go to rap music to find some crime songs. We got some good old crime songs. Little shout out to the local sheriff there, Meow. Oh, we are
Tom doesn't like it when I play that.
I know. Well, we didn't play it when he was our guest because that's a bad song.
Actually, one time we did.
Not fun.
It was somehow it worked in context.
Maybe. Yeah, he was on the other side of the table, couldn't get to you. All right, so we're here with we have volume control. We have Barry Latzer on with us. He's a renowned criminologist, author of the new book, Rise and Fall of Violent Crime in America. He's a professor emeritus at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice and the Graduate Center of City University of New York. Sure, say that all really fast. And you used to be the assistant district attorney in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
So I bet that was a busy, busy job. You learned a lot about crime then.
Especially because I was there during the crack cocaine years.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a very busy time.
No kidding. So you, you've profiled a bunch of different social groups, it sounds like, in mm-hmm. your book. I use the word profile because it's, you know, because it's a bad word. But mm-hmm. but how did that turn out? What'd you find?
Well, when I studied the history of crime, I found that different groups had what we have come to call honor cultures, that is, where people in these groups were very sensitive to insults and slights. A lot of violent crime involves quarrels, involves interpersonal conflict, as a sociologist might call it, people fighting with one another, spouses, it could be, relatives, intimates, acquaintances. In fact, when you look at the murder figures that the FBI puts out every year, you'll find that nearly three quarters of the murders in this country involve people who know one another, who are related to one another, who are living with one another. So a large number of violent crimes involve these kinds of conflicts. Now, it turns out that throughout history, certain groups have had what they call honor cultures, where they're very sensitive to perceived slights and insults and are very ready to engage in violence to avenge these perceived slights and insults. And this has been true for some groups more than others, and the groups that have involved themselves in this honor culture, taken on this honor culture, have had higher violent crime rates, which is not surprising. So throughout American history, different groups have fallen into this category. Different immigrant groups, and our country, of course, is made up of so many immigrant groups, have engaged in violence as part of this honor culture. The Irish, for instance, in the middle of the 19th century, the Southern Italian immigrants, and early in the 20th century, the Mexican immigrants in the 1920s, African-American migrants during the Great Migration in the 1920s and then World War II and after World War II. Other immigrant groups and other migrant groups have not had this culture of violence and have not engaged in a lot of violent crime. So sometimes the public will say, all immigrants are causing crime, and we hear some politicians engaging in that kind of talk now, and that's just not true. And, of course, some sociologists, some criminologists argue the opposite, that immigrants always refrain from crime. That turned out not to be true either, actually. So it really depends on the group.
So what, dare you say, without sounding racist, what groups do you find most prevalent in these honor crimes?
Culture. Yeah, these honor cultures.
Yeah.
Right, so we find this at high levels actually among Mexicans, this is still true today. Other Latino groups have had honor cultures. Southern whites, as I say, and Southern blacks have had honor cultures. In fact, if you look in the 19th century, there are some fascinating studies going back to the 19th century that compare crime rates in New England with crime rates in the southern states, and the southern states always have much higher violent crime rates. So why is this? It's because of this culture of honor, which makes people touchy and sensitive and leads to them engaging in violence against one another. And as I say, three-quarters of all homicides in the U.S. today involve these personal disputes. So is this a race-based phenomenon? No. So the charges of racism really aren't apt, although I could understand people being concerned about that issue. This is a cultural phenomenon, and it really crosses racial and ethnic boundaries, although the groups are different from one another, sometimes on racial or ethnic grounds. The culture of violence really appears in different groups, various groups. And one last point about that, too. As each of these groups moves into the middle class, we find that they abandon this honor culture and they abandon violent crime. And that's because middle class people, of course, would stand to lose everything if they engaged in violent crime. So we only see the violent crime culture among lower income level groups.
So as we squeeze out
among the same group at a higher income level.
So as we squeeze out the middle class, you figure that'll lead to a rise in crime unless all of a sudden everybody just becomes magically wealthy?
Right. So as people move to the middle class, crime in that group will fall. And that, of course, leads to another debate, you know, how do we do that? How do we achieve that? And there, conservatives and liberals don't agree, and I won't get into that debate, but I know what the outcome is.
Sure.
So one of the things that's kind of a hot topic now is criminal justice reform. And when you look at the high rate of incarceration for the black community, how do you explain that? I mean, is that also part of the economical or I mean, what? How do we fix that problem?
Right. So this is a difficult one to fix. First, some numbers. We definitely do see a disparity in imprisonment. About 35% of the prisoners in the United States are African American. So since the African American population is about 13% of the United States,
that's huge. Yeah.
Right, enormous disparity. Now, is that a result of racism or is that a result of involvement in offenses? Well, no one has proved any systematic racism, actually, despite political claims to the contrary. So this is a problem of over-involvement in the kinds of offenses that lead to imprisonment. Well, what kind of offenses lead to imprisonment? If we look at the prisoners in the United States, we see 54% are incarcerated for violent crimes. So to the extent that African Americans have high rates of violent crime, we're going to find an over-imprisonment, if you will, an excessive imprisonment rate for African Americans. The allegation is made that, well, African Americans are imprisoned for drug crimes, not for violent crimes. Well, the numbers are as follows. 15% of white prisoners are in for drug crimes. 15% of Hispanic prisoners are in for drug crimes, and 16% of black prisoners are in for drug crimes. These are prisons now, not jails. So the figures are almost identical for all these three groups, and in fact, only 16% of all prisoners are in for drug crimes, and three-quarters of these are drug traffickers. So as long as we imprison people for violent crimes and for serious crimes, not only drug crimes, and I would consider drug trafficking to be a serious crime, we're going to have a disparity if African-Americans and other groups engage in disproportionate numbers of those serious or violent crimes.
Yeah, which seems really, I don't know, it seems obvious, but it's nice that you've actually done the homework and proven it. Do you get a lot of pushback on that?
You know, I haven't yet. I'm sure I will if the book came
out. I'm sure you will.
This time.
Are they on you yet? not yet, but they're lining up, I'm sure. Because I thought it was interesting that one of the things that was mentioned is all this stuff with the Black Lives Matter and all these protests about the police. And what's that all doing? Because, I mean, I know what it looks like to me, but you actually know. So rather than popping off, what do the experts say?
People don't like to be policed. They don't like to be harassed, and they don't like to be policed. So I understand the objections. I understand the Black Lives Matter movement. The unfortunate part of the problem is, as long as African-American communities have, the poor African-American communities, I'm talking about not middle-class communities, as long as the poor African-American communities have high rates of crime, police are going to have to target these communities in some way. And this, I think, is inevitably going to breed resentments and conflicts. I really don't see too much of a way around it. I think the police are trying, and they need to continue to try, things like recruiting more African-American police officers, things like community policing, where police will walk a beat rather than just drive around anonymously in patrol cars, working with community leaders and institutions, what they call community policing. So all these things have been tried by departments, but they're probably going to have to redouble their efforts, because this is going to be an ongoing problem, and it's not a problem that's going to go away anytime soon. You know, there'll be surges of complaints, such as we had in the last couple of years, and then maybe downturns, but it's not going away.
Well, how much of it is media-driven? You know, kind of gives everybody in a different town, yeah, that's happening here. I mean, how much of it is kind of a pile-on?
Well, the media plays a role, but of course the media, after all, plays to the concerns of the public, because if you want people to listen to your radio show, if you want people to read your newspaper, go to your website, obviously you have to present things that the public is interested in.
Sure.
So the public, of course, in as you said earlier, heinous crimes, the public is interested in terrorist attacks, the public is interested in mass murder, so the media, I think, inevitably is going to present this kind of material. Does it feed public fears? Yeah, for sure it does. And the public right now is pretty fearful, apparently. Although the crime figures, as I say, don't really support that, except in some cities where we've seen a spike.
Interesting. So you figure with all this, you know, changing, because I think it's happening all over the country, and I know at the federal level there's a real push to decrease or decriminalize a lot of things, or the sentencing and revisit all that. There's going to be a backlash for that based on what you've studied, right?
Yep, probably. I mean, and as I said earlier, we'll see what happens. We have to do it the smart way, of course. If we're going to let serious offenders have a free ride, that's not the smart way to do these things.
No, it seems silly. You get the crime kind of under control, and then, well, it's doing so well, let's, you know, let's decriminalize a bunch of stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at what happened when their crime was going nuts, and they implemented stop and frisk or frisk and search or whatever. I mean, crime went way down. And then there was a big backlash from that, so they stopped doing it. Now crime's back up again. So it obviously has an effect. You know, heavier policing has a positive effect on crime.
Barry?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then give people, I know you have to go, so give people a plug as far as where to find your book. I found it easily on Amazon, The Rise and Fall of Violent Crime in America. It's a hardcover book. It also comes out
Amazon,
on Kindle. What else do you have?
Barnes & Noble, Amazon.
Yeah, I forgot
that. I believe you just Google The Rise and Fall of Violent Crime in America, you'll find it. I don't have my own website yet. I'm in hiding, I guess. Witness protection.
That's probably not a bad idea.
Well, if that changes, give us a holler and we'll add it.
Okay.
We'll add it to the website because we've got all your information on there, and we'd love to have
Great.
You come back and talk about some of your other work anytime you would like to.
Thank you. This was
Thanks
great.
For, thanks for
so
coming
much.
On, Barry.
Thanks very much for spending part of your afternoon with us. It fit right into our topic.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, we've been speaking with Barry Latzer. He has written this terrific book called The Rise and Fall of Violent Crime in America. I guess I shouldn't say it's a terrific book. It's a scary book, but...
Yeah, but it's an eye-opener.
It is an eye-opener.
It really, it will surprise you.
We have to deal, we have to deal in fact. Everybody wants to say everything's racism and this, that, and the other, but, it's kind of funny when the statistics play out. It is what it is, as they say.
We could say, as scary books go, it's a terrific book.
And we only do scary things, so, of course, we would be talking about it. I've got to take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back, because Tracy was over there going, just like what we're talking about, which is just what we thought would happen. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
You're listening to We the People Radio on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 30043.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
It's that time of year again for the Reading Gun Show, this March 5th and 6th at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. Saturday hours are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. This is the gun show of the year, jam-packed with handguns, shotguns, rifles, ammunition, and of course, reloading supplies. The Reading Gun Show, this March 5th and 6th at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
No one understood what I felt for Mary. No one cared until the night you went out walking all alone and never came home. Man with a badge came knocking at
Actually heard that song, but I didn't remember it being scary.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like a love song until you listen closely to the words.
Yeah, you're like, wait a minute, something bad happened.
It's a creepy love song.
It is a creepy love song. There are a lot of creepy love songs. Yeah, when we had Cameron, what's his name, the security guy on, we learned all about creepy love songs.
That was Richard Marx with Hazard, by the way.
Oh, thanks. I didn't know who that was either. That's why you do all the music. We sit on the other side and can't touch the buttons. It's probably best that way. So we're back with Tracy, man. We were at the beginning talking about privacy,
yes.
Privacy rights, and how the school system is basically giving those all away. They are not bound by HIPAA because they are not a medical biller, so the school can give away all the mental health records, and if your kid is depressed or sad or for whatever reason, could be something that's as easy as losing a relative.
Mm-hmm.
But that goes in the file.
It does.
Then we swerve over. We talk with Barry about violent crime in America. And
he's talking about subgroups.
Yeah, he's talking about subgroups of people,
exactly,
and that's what they're trying to do,
exactly,
is pick our subgroups for us.
And they already, I had put in file here that on your webpage, that they've already been subgrouping us for quite some time. Which is kind of interesting because I get a kick out of, I had posted, it's called Positive Theory of Privacy Law. I got a kick out of it because it's subgrouping us, and the psychologists have already done this. It's called a Big Five model, and this is basically going into individual characteristics and your personalities. And they actually talked about the liberals and conservatives. And what kind of bedrooms they have.
I thought
have.
That was hilarious. And that's right on here. The Big Five attributes. It's a 2008 study, so it's been out for a while.
It has been.
What was it? Liberals' bedrooms were significantly more likely to be colorful, distinctive, and filled with books, music, and art supplies. Really? Crayons and stuff? What are we talking? Conservatives' bedrooms were judged to be significantly neater. Oh, we're tidy people. Cleaner, better organized, and better lit. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've always hated candles. Huh. Must be something to this. With an abundance of sports paraphernalia. That's very odd. Are we talking bats and balls or pennants or what are we after? American flags, alcohol bottles. Woo! And containers. Alcohol container, so I guess, you know, the thinking of college dorm rooms, you know, with the beer cans all stacked in the window. Laundry baskets and ironing boards. Conservatives have laundry baskets and ironing boards in their bedroom.
Wow.
I guess I'm schizophrenic. I hate candles in my laundry baskets in the laundry room, so I don't know what that means.
It's in the bedroom.
No, it's in the laundry room.
Well,
it's not in the... No, it's by the washing machine, remember?
Yeah, that's where they belong.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're obviously...
Already been sub.
Yeah,
grouped.
We're beyond help.
I bought two hampers recently. I'm sure they're on me. They're scanning my house to figure out where I put them.
But this is
what are you putting in those
data?
Hampers?
Yes.
Exactly. Why do you need
and
hampers?
And I sort them by color clothes and white clothes.
Oh,
no.
That is a problem.
Now, what does that clarify? What subgroup would that be in?
The one that puts extra pillows on the bed.
Oh no.
But that just basically goes line of what they're trying to do. I mean, the research that's coming off of the education is subgrouping our children, and it's individualizing them, and then also going to tag on whether they could possibly be a criminal due to the climate test that they are actually doing in the schools. The bullying is one big thing that they've come out with, the assessments of bullying. So they're going to target our children. And
that
then they're going to...
That whole bullying thing. I mean, it... You know,
they had it when we were kids.
They had it when we were kids. I mean, kids get bullied. Kids do that. Kids say things that aren't nice. I mean, that's just... They're kids. But to shield kids from anything bad out there.
Oh, yeah.
When they get in the real world, they're going to be a mess.
What state has taken away sledding? Wasn't there a state that took away sledding? That's another right. Parents,
well,
they don't even have any rights anymore. We don't have any rights.
Well, they tried to make them... they tried to keep them from sledding on the White House or the Capitol lawn, you know, on the little hill there, and they overruled that.
But their parents don't even, I mean, they're getting really, I don't know if they feel like they're being watched. I mean, what was the kids that walked to school, too, and that was an eight, or they went to the park?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they got in all kinds of trouble for letting their kids walk to school. Shoot, when I was a kid, we walked a mile and a half to school every day.
Well,
and that was no big deal. I mean, we always had fun
along
the way.
Look at the way it turned out, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Well, just for your own amusement.
Gun-toting conservative nut.
Yeah, with a laundry basket in your bedroom.
I know.
Oh, no, wait, you don't have a laundry
that's
basket.
That's my ironing board, lady. Leave it alone.
Your response to intervention would not be good,
Bill. Is that your ironing board, or you're just happy to see me?
Sicko. I knew you were going to go there.
They're just going to test you more, Bill.
But you know what? All this touchy-feely stuff, because I got a thing last week, House Resolution 612. Look it up, folks, if you think I'm kidding, because you're going to think I'm kidding.
This is where I got to take a breath.
It is expressing support for designation of February 12, 2016 as, ready, wait for it, National No One Eats Alone Day.
Emotional.
I'm starting to cry.
Are you kidding me? This is Jared
so
Huffman
sad.
And Jackie Speier and Honda and Sanchez. It's a big Democrat feel-good. Expressing support for designation of No One Eats Alone Day, whereas social isolation in its many forms is far too prevalent in our schools and communities. One in four students in America experiences some form of bullying.
Oh.
Bullying includes harassment, blah, blah, blah. Feeling socially isolated at school negatively affects mental health, so you're not supposed to eat alone, right? So if I go home and eat a sandwich during the day, I could be affecting my self-esteem because it says right here, the effects of social isolation include poor self-esteem, anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts and actions. Oh, if you drink alone, this happens too. So AA has been onto this for a long time.
You know,
they're like way smarter than
we are. Depends what you were eating. Were you under Obama's food?
You're right.
Yeah,
so it encourages middle schools across the country to participate in No One Eats Alone Day throughout the year.
Yeah, they're targeting our kids. Some information I can understand.
Real food day.
It's not a bill before anybody panics and calls their congressman. It's not a bill, it's a resolution. So House Resolution 612, if you want to go look it up, it's short. And it'll make your head explode.
God forbid anything bad ever happens to your kid and mars him for life. You know, I mean, you know, bad things happen. I mean, and I'm not talking bad things like they get their arm cut off or, you know, get stomped in the head or something. I mean,
well, that was random.
I know it was. Stuff like that comes out when my blood pressure comes up.
Where's the psychologist when we need him? Okay, we do want to check into this one.
I just think kids have to go through stuff to grow up normal. They're not
except for the cutting off their arm.
Well, you know, did carve a BB out of a kid one time when we were kids, but he lived.
Because he was
right.
Going to tattle.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably a serial killer now, but. You know, bad things are going to happen.
Yeah, imagine that there was a rule. They weren't supposed to shoot BBs at each other, but they did it anyway, and the kid was going to cry and tell.
Yeah, we had to take the BB out before he went home, or we would all get in trouble.
So they all broke out their pocket knives, held the kid down, and carved the BB out.
It was just under the skin. It wasn't like
field
surgery.
And they're worried about him eating
alone.
Well,
I guess it was field surgery, but...
No one should go anywhere with Bill. That's
I shared my candy bar with him afterwards. He was happy.
And then you wonder why they're doing all the testing now, Bill.
House Resolution 613.
No field surgery for your kids day.
Bob, I challenge you. What have you got for us to lead into this lovely break?
One of our favorites from Morrissey.
Oh, my God. Let's take a real quick break. We'll be right back. Just in case you wanted to make sure and not catch previous shows, this is called We the People.
Nothing like country living.
You can find us on wethepeopleradio.us. The
more you ignore, I got some horse stories, too. The closer I get, you're wasting your time. The more you ignore me, the closer I get, you're wasting your time. I will be in the bar with my head on the bar. I am now
little decorum around here. You're listening to We the People on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Dandelion. Unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried. Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, because Mama tried.
She did. She tried. If she only knew.
Yeah, she thought you were the nice one.
I know.
She's like, Bill's always been so nice.
She'd really be mad if she knew the neighbor kid down the road really lost his shoes swimming a horse across the river when we were supposed to be in the water. Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
What did you tell her he lost his shoes doing?
We left them on the beach when we went swimming.
And someone took them?
Somebody took them. I don't know what the story was.
You're such a bad liar. You were probably a terrible liar.
I didn't
liar
have
then.
To tell a lie. He did.
Oh, that's probably good.
Yeah. But yeah, they were long gone. They got swept away.
Well, yeah. We started out with privacy laws in school, giving away all of our data, and then what we tell? Then we tell all the stories that they never could know unless we.
They're not.
Well,
the
point is,
anymore.
They want to control these kids so much, and make sure nothing bad ever happens. And they'll be perfect little citizens. Well, they won't be.
But in the meantime,
in the real world,
we're categorizing them and subdividing them. And the P20W thing, I really do hope people go look that up in all seriousness. Mm-hmm. Preschool to 20 years of age to workforce.
Yes, this goes into, do you remember when you first started and then you get a card when you actually go to work now?
You
get a gold, silver, I think Oregon's already started it.
What?
So this is following. This is part of the whole system. It's the economy, too.
What does the card mean?
The card actually determines what kind of job you're actually going to be able to hold.
Yikes.
So in 2018, they were going to put this into play, whereas in eighth grade, you're tested summative and formative testing from kindergarten all the way to eighth grade. By eighth grade, you take a test.
Yeah.
That test will determine what kind of job you do, which is agricultural or whatever. You will be going into high school. This is your career readiness. You will go into high school only getting the agricultural
They're going to neck you down to a track.
Yes.
Literally.
And then push you out and say, okay. And what's happening
Here's
is
your
the
shovel.
Big companies are paying the high schools to actually do it. Your record is going to be continual. It does not stop. So your privacy is done. There is no privacy in this.
So what I'm going to be when I grow up
is
no longer one of those
none of your
options.
Choices anymore. No, this is tied to one world government. Economy is part of this. This is why a
this
lot
is
of
what
people
the socialists
thought,
do
it, exactly. And I think that's the thing is when people don't realize that. I think now today communism and socialism, people don't know what the meanings are. The definitions are gone, and I think that's where it's scary. Is the privacy, constitutional rights of our privacy is gone? No
well,
one
how
knows
about
those.
Just individual freedom? I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, private property, and mm-hmm. obviously that would be the underpinning of all of this. So as we strip away private property and we move everyone into the city so we can watch them even more, and we start to decide who's good and who's bad and who's doing what with whom.
Uh-huh.
And so, gee, the people that are going to show up and bury Latzer's book, they're going to be on track to what? Study
whatever they...
How to make a shiv? What? I mean, because they're going to wind up in prison?
It depends what RTI level they're at.
What does that
bill
mean?
Would have response to intervention.
Oh.
So they will actually form these children no matter...
Response to intervention.
Yeah. Response to interventions.
Mm-hmm. I respond bill, bad to all intervention. I don't want any intervention.
No.
Wow. Okay, so bottom line is, if you don't believe us, we have a ton of information on the website, and I do hope that you'll go look at some of it, click on the links, because I think it's really interesting. I hope you had a little fun along the way. You know, we can't be serious all the time, for heaven's sakes. Serious topics. So join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'd love to hear your ideas for programs. We'd love to hear your comments on the show. Our phone and emails are on there, and if you've got anybody who would like some great exposure, our website really hits the airwaves.
Yep.
We're on Twitter, Facebook, blah, blah, blah.
Thanks for being on,
Oh,
Tracy.
Thanks for having me.
And heavy tracking, everybody. Let's strap on our Fitbits and go GPS ourselves.
Heck yeah. If you fall down, they'll catch you.
See you next week.
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.
I'm Gordon Griffin. Michigan Governor Rick Snyder says a 14-year-old girl wounded in a shooting rampage in the Kalamazoo area is working hard to stay alive. The governor called the shootings senseless violence at its worst. In an interview with WWMT-TV, Kalamazoo Mayor Bobby Hopewell says that the deadly shooting rampage has stunned the western Michigan community.
This is not something that we would have ever anticipated in this community that could happen here, and there's not a lot we could have done.
Hopewell says many residents felt helpless during the shooting spree.
It was a random act of heinousness that really has affected our community in so many different ways.
A 14-year-old girl was shot at a Cracker Barrel parking lot last night, along with four women who were killed. A father and son were fatally shot at a car dealership. Uber says the suspect arrested in yesterday's shooting rampage was one of its drivers, but would not say if he was working for the ride-sharing service at